T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, better you today. Text line. We were talking Pac-12. They treat all their ancillary sports kind of as equals to football and basketball. And granted, football and basketball do get more funding. And this texter goes, you know, in this valid point, the way it was... the way my terminology was put out there. He said, the SEC doesn't care about baseball. Look up their stadiums. They care a lot.
Oh, they do. Oh,
they absolutely do. But
and softball.
They do not treat them as equals or even close to equals to football and basketball is the point.
Understandable. But their equal is still head and shoulders above.
What?
I'm sorry. Their imbalance.
Yes.
And how they treat baseball and softball is not even equal to how the Pac-12 tries to make it seem like it's equal out here. Because the revenue that they will spend on softball and baseball in the SEC, I mean, they're paying their softball coaches $1 million in the SEC.
In the Big 12.
Yeah. Oklahoma's a powerhouse. Some of those teams are powerful. But softball in general and baseball here, you're looking at a Pac-12 champion at Oregon State.
National champion.
Well, I'm sorry, that's what I meant, national champion. Do you think that their revenue generation, do you think the excitement is, if that was the same that was sitting in let's say, the Big Ten or the SEC?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, not even close.
No.
And
Oregon State should have had a parade bigger than ever. I mean, it should have the amount of revenue that should be pumped into Oregon State just for that baseball mecca that you have.
It's not. No. It took Jacoby Ellsbury to give a big old donation to get a new clubhouse after winning back-to-back national championships.
I don't know if it's selfish. I don't know what people are holding their money on to. I don't know what you're spending it on. I'm not going to tell you to spend your money, but I'm going to tell you, invest in your university.
It's like what you hear from, you know, when there's like a school bond out there or a tax to help the schools and the news goes out to the voter polling stations and you see those people come out and say, well, I don't trust the school district's going to use the money the right way. There's probably a lot of boosters and donors out there that feel the same way about the athletic department.
Would you give, with Ed Ray running your university, would you give him any money?
And that's the thing, is that, like, do I trust the athletic department to use the money the right way? I think there's a little bit of that. I think a lot of fans will do it. And I think a lot of it just, though, is fervor. There isn't a whole lot of fervor out here. Oregon State has a great following for their baseball program. Best in the Pac-12.
But is that their a backhanded compliment?
It sounds like it. It absolutely is. Yeah. Their attendance is the best in the conference. Yeah. And their fans are passionate. Right. There's nowhere near as many fans that go to Oregon State games as Tennessee baseball, LSU baseball, you know? I mean, Mississippi State baseball. I mean,
why can't we get an Oregon State series here at Hop Stadium here or
they
something
do.
Like that?
They do.
When?
I think they played Oregon, I think, earlier this month.
I know. Stadium is a great place to watch college baseball, but if you want to engage it and just...
Well, you shouldn't need to do that.
Well, you should, because
Portland's... national championship.
There's 2.4 million people around here. You should come up and play.
Yeah.
Come up and play occasionally. Just one series. And if it's a rival series, you want to play your Civil War up here a little bit, make it fun, try that.
Yeah.
Think outside the box. Are we going to have to?
Well, I mean, they do that.
I can say do more.
But I can't. I just can't tell you off the top of my head.
Oh, see, this texter says they play here next week. Do they really? I'm there. I'm there. Do they really? I'm in.
Yeah, they do a series there. Yeah, they play University of Portland at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro.
I'll be there. Well, they'll all be there then.
Next Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday during the day?
5.
5 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. And then they have a couple. They do it every now and again. They'll come to Hillsboro and they'll have a game. But, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, it is what it is.
Oh, don't you dare do that.
Well, what is it then?
Don't accept it. We're not accepting it on this show. You're not allowed to accept it, Dusty. Right, well, Buck? We're not allowed to accept it.
Prove it otherwise.
They went to what are we not allowed to accept?
We're not allowed to accept it is what it is. I hate that.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Unacceptable.
The Reeser family started putting more money into academics than sports recently. That text coming in.
Well, I'm not going to argue against anything that Phil Knight does in Oregon. He is fantastic. What he does for the Oregon University and what Nike has done has changed the way we look at football in this conference.
Well, and didn't the Nordstrom family give a big chunk of that $225 for out. Husky Stadium?
Yeah, and that's why. Yes, yeah, they gave a lot.
Boosters matter.
Investment.
Yeah, but I mean, look at when Washington State went through Paul Wolf, and it was their AD, Bill Moose, at the time said, if you want to win, you need to open up your checkbooks, and made that plea. And then, you know, people like the D'Angelo family down here in the Vancouver area, they opened up their checkbook, boosters all across Washington State opened up their checkbook, and they paid Mike Leach. That's paying off in a big way for Washington State football and Washington State athletics. Think of where we viewed Washington State under Paul Wolf and where they are now under Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. It was the worst job in college football. And now he's winning 9-10 games a year in Pullman. Boosters matter. Phil Knight matters. The Nordstrom family matters. You know?
So
in UCLA doesn't have that right
now.
That's why they suck at basketball.
Look, if this conference could lure a superstar coach, and he's available.
In what sport?
Football to start.
Urban Meyer.
Thank you.
USC, go get him.
No, I don't need to see him at USC. I don't care where he's at. I'm just saying, if he's available, you start some way and you overpay. It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not telling any university to do that, but there's already one coach in this conference, David Shaw, that's been here with a tenure that is an elite coach. He's an elite coach. Coach Peterson is an elite coach. Proved it. Mm. Okay, been to Rose Bowls, and now we get to see an Ando College Football Playoff. Everyone else is kind of buying their time and waiting around. You have to invest. And if there's going to start with one, you got to go get Urban Meyer. If it is going to be USC, okay. If it's a UCLA and you want to hang with Chip, all right, keep doing that. There needs to be an investment. You want to pay someone $10 million? Pay a head coach $10 million.
Oh, my God.
Do it.
Well, that has to be USC. They're the only ones that have the money to do that, right, meow? You know? But then $10
million. I call extreme BS on that, Dusty.
What?
There's plenty of money to be paid.
Washington, Oregon.
Washington doesn't need it. Oregon has money to pay. Okay. USC has money to pay. They have money to pay.
You know, that's the interesting thing. So we say that, but then why didn't they go out and do that kind of money throw when they hired Willie Taggart? Or when they hired Mario Cristobal. See, I don't think that they do have that money to pay. I mean, I think they have a lot of money. They're well off.
I don't know. I can't speak for any of that. But I do know when you have a search committee, that if you're looking at and you're getting one of the top coaches in the country, the top coaches go to where to where the money is. Mm-hmm. If you can't step up to the plate and pay, who did they pay? They paid a defensive coordinator 1.7, and now he's gone.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Deal just solved the Pac-12. Pete Carroll to UCLA, Urban Meyer to USC, done. Pac-12 is great again. Gotcha.
Okay.
See? Got nothing. And that's what UCLA should throw a bunch of money at Kelvin Sampson. And don't worry about the NCAA violations. The guy's a hell of a basketball coach. He has Houston humming right now. Just go throw a buttload of money at him. You may be on probation in a decade, but who cares? You're going to win. You're going to win a lot. And there needs to be kind of... and it sounds bad. Mm-hmm. There needs to be that kind of attitude as well out here. Is, okay, we're going to win. We want to win. Kind of win at all costs. There isn't a win at all cost attitude out here. And you need to have a little bit of that because...
In the two sports we need it, it's football and basketball.
I'll tell you.
It's Chip, a win at all cost.
Chip Kelly did it at Oregon.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the whole Willie Lyles situation. It worked. You know? I mean, there was some corners cut. I mean, you played at Washington on probation when some corners were cut up there.
Okay, that was a laughingstock compared to what they do now.
But...
That was some apple baskets, hats.
But guess what? It worked.
It worked because winning. It starts with winning.
Well.
Okay, first you got to go out and win games when you need to. Oregon needs to win versus Auburn next year and set this conference up. You want to put pressure on it? Put pressure on everybody. Coach Cristobal knows it. Okay, everybody that's sitting in that organization and that team right now, you hold the conference in high esteem by winning and beating an SEC team. So go get it, Oregon, out the gate. And do it for your conference, but because we need it.
And this texture brings up a good question. It's like, okay, well, you say care more. You want us to care more. Well, how do you hype up sports around the Northwest? Is it lack of marketing? Bad game times? What is it? I think what it is, a lot to do with, and this is my personal opinion, we can't get people to come out here. It's hard to get games out here. Where do all the big games happen? Georgia, Dallas, Houston, none of these marquee games, they're all neutral site. Everyone's neutral site.
But we don't have a great...
The home and homes, Georgia backs out. They're gone.
What's the best stadium in the conference in the West Coast right now? It's the crap place of Levi Stadium, and it's terrible. See? When Vegas gets built, folks, when the new LA Stadium comes in and it's sitting out there in Inglewood, this conference, it will change. It will help.
And I think that's a big deal.
And that adjustment will happen.
It's a big deal.
You need a Pac-12 or West Coast stronghold for neutral site stuff. Just like you have Atlanta and just like you have Dallas. So much happens in those two places.
Sure.
You've got nothing like that out here. Mm-hmm. When you start to play some of those supposedly neutral site games out in Vegas where pretty much anybody West Coast can make it there, I think you start to see more balance in those games. I think it's going to be huge.
It is huge because when Oregon played LSU in Dallas in the Cowboy kickoff, that was 85% LSU, 5% SEC team, SEC fans yelling for LSU, and then 10% Duck fans.
Well, okay, so it was brutal. It was all purple and gold, and especially because Oregon had a little bit of yellow, so it's like we just blended in with the LSU folks.
Kind of moved it. And so what's it going to look like this year?
Well, LSU's a lot closer than Auburn, but they're still going to pull more fans because it's like 1,000 miles closer than
for
Oregon
Auburn,
is.
It's also a rematch of their national championship win.
Michael Dower's down.
Yes, he was.
RJ, this is for you.
Ducks are cool.
I'm a Ducks fan.
You wanted that?
Those are drops.
No, they're not.
I'm a
Ducks fan.
I'm not here to tell you anything other than the truth.
Ducks are cool.
Oregon holds the conference. Not only it's standard right now, they have all the pressure. And I will be a huge Duck fan against Auburn. Because it's for the conference, not for my own selfish mentality that I'm not stupid enough to tell you that I don't cheer for what's great for a conference because I consider the conference part of my network and my team. That's part of the group. When we all do great, it ends up paying off in the end. I'm not going to hold that stupid mentality. Okay. There's one time a year where I'm going to hold true to that. But this is big this year, guys. We got to make an adjustment. We have to make a change. And it starts with Coach Cristobal going down and stomping a hole in Auburn. I'm tired of watching us go on the road as a conference and get embarrassed. And then everyone the rest of the year goes, well, the Pac-12 can't do anything. Can't beat anybody. Figure it out. Go do it. Man up.
I hope UW loses by 100.
I'll wear my yoga pants.
That one didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cam, the only dog in history to root for Oregon. Oh, yeah, who is heading to Texas for that game? We have one guy saying, or P1 RJ is like, yeah, I'm going. I mean, nobody wants to go to CenturyLink to play a big game. It's not big enough. There's not much to go to.
It's only 65,000 seat stadium. Husky Stadium's bigger.
It's not
and Husky
cool.
Stadium's a better stadium anyway.
Vegas, LA, that's where you'll get people.
Yeah, because it's a destination. Dallas is a destination.
Yeah. And in LA right now, there's still not even a great stadium to do that. I mean, right. People go to the Coliseum, well,
it's
but it's a,
it's a dump.
Yeah.
And so is the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl's great for one game a year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's nostalgic. It's not a place where you entertain having a big time game.
Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with the fervor, though. Because I think, remember college basketball? There was actually buzz about college basketball last year during the PK80. Remember when that came here?
Yeah.
People cared about college basketball in November. That was awesome for a week. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. Tom Brady and his autographs, how much do they cost? Dustin Cam on the Fan. Ronde Hollis Jefferson, Blazer Gray, traded for Mason Plumlee and Pat Connaughton. I'll take it.
I remember that now.
It was a good draft.
Yeah.
That was a good trade, too.
Hey, Buck, there was a good text that came in that kind of summed up the reason why Pac-12 so bad.
Yeah, it made me laugh out loud. It's because of our leftist soy boy culture.
Let's just throw in snowflakes and just get them all covered.
Sure. Yeah, all of them. All those labels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
What's a soy boy?
I don't know. It's the first time I've ever heard the term soy boy, and it just made me laugh. It must have been the rhyme. I don't know.
Am I going to get fired if I Google it?
I think it's somebody that likes soy milk instead of regular milk, isn't it?
I would imagine,
Put soy in everything. And
use soy as a dietary replacement?
Sure.
Okay. According to Urban Dictionary, it's slang used to describe males who completely and utterly lack all necessary masculine qualities. This pathetic state is usually achieved by an overindulgence in emasculating products and or ideologies. The origin of the term derives from the negative effects of soy consumption and has been proven to have on the male physique and libido. The average soy boy is a feminist, non-athletic, has never been in a fight, will probably marry the first girl he has sex with, and likely reduces all arguments to labeling the opposition as Nazis.
That is maybe the longest Urban Dictionary definition I've ever heard. Very thorough.
Thank you for that. That just made my day.
If you'd like it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but whatever floats your boat. So don't eat a lot of soy. Is that kind of what I'm getting here?
Don't be a soy boy, Cam.
Don't be a soy boy.
It's not a problem with me.
Would you like it used in a real life scenario?
Sure.
Man number one, if you kill your enemies, they win. Man two, shut the blank up, soy boy.
What's a soy boy going into a fight with?
It says here he's never been in one. So he's never getting into that.
You know,
he's
riding away in his naked bike ride?
I'll tell you what he's going into a fight with. He's going in with a binder of conflict resolution notes.
That's a good call.
He's got a three-ring binder. He's got his hole punch. Wait. Let me get this punched first.
The closest thing to a weapon is the strap that he puts around his pants so they don't get caught in his bike chain.
Do you know a soy boy off the top of your head?
Oh,
you don't
have
to call him out. Do you, Buck? Do you have soy boy buddies?
Oh, yeah.
I think I know one. Oh. There's one that comes to mind for sure.
I went to Southern Oregon University. I know a lot of soy boys out there.
P1 Raymond says, unfortunately, that defines like 75 to 80% of the men in Portland.
Uh-huh.
Does it really? I need to get out more. Maybe I'm living in blinders.
I'll take you to some places.
Yeah, what, downtown?
I'll take you to some places.
Where's the places? Soy boys live?
Hawthorne District.
I was just going to ask that. Where do the soy boys hang?
Soy boy hangout?
Southeast Portland. You can go up to like Mississippi Avenue, out towards that way. That's probably where you find most of them.
Is that the same dude that's wearing the stocking cap that looks like a condom and it never covers their ears?
Is that the same guy? Some of them.
I think it could be. There's probably some soy boy crossover there.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, just go to a vegan.
I've opened up my
restaurant.
Eyes to a whole new.
You'll find a couple.
Yeah.
Better You Today text line. My son's name is Sawyer. We've occasionally called him Soy Boy. Not anymore.
That's RJ. P1 RJ, buddy.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, man.
Sorry, Arj.
Did we just ruin it for you? I think they're mostly contained to the east side of the river, though.
Well, this one says, too, there's no soy boys in Clark County. I'll speak for that because I live over there. Maybe I'm just not. I'll find you some. There might be, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
They're right on the verge of walking across the bridge to the other side.
I think because of that.
Where are? Because they're not over there.
I think because of that definition that we just read, I think most of them have to travel in packs. so they don't get, because they haven't been into a fight. If they enter any confrontation, they want the power of the group to shuffle away.
The power of the group.
Yeah. They can just kind of get away. That was quite the Urban Dictionary definition, and I'm happy that I clicked on that link.
That was great. Mm. That was enjoyable.
Cam, a great example for you would be Crawford from P1 Raymond.
Do you think he is? Crawford's not listening.
Pretty close. Soy boy? Pretty close. Do you want to call him and see?
I think he might take that offensively. I think he's going to get offended by that, which is right in the Portland, that's just right up their alley.
Should we call him?
No.
Right now?
No, I don't need to.
We can call him on air, put it on speakerphone, ask him if he
knows what one is, and does he...
If he is one? Oh, I know exactly.
Does he assimilate to the soy boy culture?
I know he has a lot of... I don't think he... He doesn't fit the definition to a T. He does have a friend who listens to the show that does.
That does
he
just, what?
He listens to our show, but that's the only sports that he gets in his life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
This has nothing to do with sports. This has to just, what do you assimilate with? Who are you?
The closest thing that you know is Crawford.
Okay.
That's the closest thing. But Crawford likes to play basketball and stuff like that.
And this one says, don't confuse all hipsters as soy boy. I don't think I am. I know tons of big-time sports fan hipster guys. Well, and they're tough guys, and they just wear skinny jeans, and they wear frameless, and they wear glasses with clear lenses.
It's mostly...
I know tons of guys like that. Those are still good dudes.
Blazer fans.
Yeah.
Like, most Blazer fans, like, how many flannels buttoned all the way up to the top in stocking caps do you see when you're watching a Blazer game? You see a ton of them.
Yeah.
Those aren't soy boys.
No.
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 A soy boy literally wouldn't be at the game.
Is a soy boy a snowflake? Because we dove into snowflake two weeks ago, and I kind of really have defined that.
I don't know.
I think if you had a Venn diagram, there'd be a lot of overlap between soy boys and snowflakes, probably.
Yeah. Oh. Kickers.
Wait, are kickers soy boys?
I've known some pretty cool kickers off the field.
I don't think so.
There's some.
I don't think so. Mm. I'm not going to throw them down into that pit.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Mm. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and...
really good. Great stuff.
There's a lot of them coming in.
Soy boys hate sports. I think I believe that now. From your definition, it sounds like they do.
Well, although we did get one that said you'll find a lot of soy boys at a Timbers game.
Okay.
Mm.
Soccer's kind of that way.
Well, that's a sweeping generalization. That's
no. I just think that's kind of that way.
Here's soy boy used in another sentence. The soy boy's crying because they ran out of pumpkin spice lattes.
Soy pumpkin spice latte.
Hey, let's.
That's my drink. Is there a soy boy listening to us right now? Will you own up to it and just say, hey, we're listening to you?
Say, I admit it.
You can come on the show. Talk about it.
All right. Here's Buck with Sports Center. I'd like to give you an update. During the break, we called Crawford on speakerphone, and
you called.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Important distinction there.
You called.
Yeah, Cam's not calling. First of all, he was awake. Shocking. Mm. Second, he did
not. Good life choices.
Yeah, he did not deny it.
That'd be your upset of all of March Madness.
Yeah. He did not deny it.
No.
He just kind of
said, I wasn't privy to the conversation, so what did he say? Yeah, I'm a soy boy.
No, it was...
He wasn't happy with it. He wasn't unhappy with it.
I said, are you a soy boy? He goes,
what is that?
And so I read him the Urban Dictionary. He laughed, and he said,
I didn't deny it.
So,
we've come to the conclusion it's a culture...
Yep.
That's responsible for the fall of the Pac-12.
Yes. Okay.
Have a sense of humor here.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
You
want to talk about autographs?
I do, but there was one other thing. Oh, there's a Netflix show that popped up on my on the text line.
Oh, that's interesting.
About David being a soy boy from the show. I don't even want to say the Blank Creek show.
I don't know what that is. Never seen it.
It's a pretty funny show.
Oh.
There's a documentary I highly recommend watching, Murder Mountain. Watch it.
Murder?
Yeah, just wanted to get that out there.
I've seen it.
Really good. Really good. Okay, now let's talk autographs. What do we have on the autograph front?
So we have autographs. Tom Brady has now released his costs for autographs. They have gone up. So I'm a proponent of letting people make money off their own likeness. Mm. I think college sports should allow kids to have kids. Let me rephrase that. Mm. College sports should allow their athletes, and they are men and young ladies, they should allow them to be able to have their likeness and sell anything that has their names on it. And they should be able to sign autographs and get paid for it because that's them. Universities should not be allowed to make that kind of money. Now, the universities aren't going to pay them any money. So Tom Brady's bumped up his cost. So if I told you what it cost to get a Tom Brady autographed flat item, 11 by 14, Dusty.
So you're talking like a flat item is a picture or a
flat
card
item.
Or a poster.
Or just a piece of paper. Piece of paper. A flat item that's 11 by 14. Now, those are specific measurements. What do you think Tom Brady's cost?
Piece of paper.
That would cost to get a Tom Brady.
$125.
Okay. No. His cost has gone up from previously in 2017. It was $900.
Wait, what?
Yes. It previously was $900. It is now $1,049 each. That is to get a flat item. If you would like a mini helmet or anything that bumps up to 16 by 20, you are going to pay $1,079. If you would like a full size item that is 16 by 20, helmet and or jersey, you will be paying $1,099. And it keeps going.
$1,099 or $1,999?
No, $1,099. You could have just said $1,100, but that extra dollar that they keep leaving off makes it sound like you're getting a cheap. It's like $19.99. Just say $20, dude. You just say $20. It's irritating the heck out of me. And let's keep going.
Well, no
Would you
wonder.
Like any reproduced artwork canvas multi-signed item with five or more signatures?
What the hell?
You are going to spend $1,599.
Okay, wait a minute. So you can get five for $1,500
yeah,
or one
deal.
For $1,000.
You can pool it together.
I like that. Yeah.
And then finally, if your original artwork, canvas, or any item not listed above, you will be paying $2,199 for that signature. And the reason why Tom Brady does this is that it is invite only. This is a autograph signing. You have to submit all the things you would like. They will take it in. He will sign it, and then you will receive it upon payment, and you will walk out. You can't stand in line with anything. You have to be approved, and then you get to pick it up.
So you don't even get to see him sign it?
Well, I think you get to go in there, and you get to see him shake hands, say, hey, here's your stuff. It's already been pre-approved. Here it is. Pay your money. Get on out of here.
Okay. Wow. That's a ripoff.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I love Tom Brady. I think he's an angel. I would never pay $1,000 for him.
Well, you wouldn't, but obviously some people do.
Well, yeah, no S. That's why I'm saying I think it's a ripoff.
So do you think it's also, I know, but do you think it's also a little bit frustrating that someone, as you get to be a professional and you get the label professional, that you couldn't go out and sell off and use your own likeness? You find that a huge hypocrisy for student athletes?
I would say that is a big one athletes. Because guess what? Tom Brady was giving away those for freezies when he was at the University of Michigan quarterback. And he did it for a long time. That's way too much money. And all of these guys should be able to make money off of your likeness and your signature.
Well, his signature is appreciating in value right now.
Well, I can imagine why, because when you have to pay $1,100 to get one, there's not going to be very many of them out there, you know? I mean, then, God. He has to make up that money, though. He does play for the Patriots for pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the fans are actually paying Tom Brady's salary, you know? That's it.
Now, I've done this before. I never got to that kind of level. But
what should you charge?
I never charged for a autograph ever in my life.
Oh.
But I was paid to sign rookie cards. My rookie year, I sat down and signed 10,000 cards. It took me a while.
10,000?
Yeah, and I was paid $2 a card.
Out of curiosity, how long does it take to sign 10,000?
It took me a week.
Mm. How many hours do you think it took?
I did it like 2-3 hours a day.
How many did your wife sign?
None. Dude, come on. You had to take, you had, at that time, this is, you had to have pictures of it. you had to have someone filming you and they were there doing it. You had to have that kind of verification so it wasn't a bunch of people sitting around signing it, because they're not going to do that. But that was standard practice with what a lot of the rookies and anybody that was, you know, was a rated rookie at the time. They gave you that deal across the board. It wasn't anything that was over the top.
I'm wondering how many he does.
Brady, of these?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's probably nice supplemental income. It's limited time, but I think it's something he just does in the offseason. He just, hey, you know, hey, Tommy, you want to make an extra 50 grand or something? Oh, yeah, sure. Just run down to
50 grand.
Hours work, 50 grand.
You just have a couple of them and you can pay for your kids' college.
Sure.
You know? All done. All right, 55305, the better you today text line. A good point. Brady isn't an angel. He's a patriot. That's right. Patriot for this country. Does all the right things.
Yeah.
All right, we get you set for the day on the Fan, and we learned something very valuable today on the program. We'll fill you in on what it is next. 8:43 on the Fan. All right, 55305. Better you today, Texas guy. I think it's a what did you say it was for just a piece of paper? 11 by 14, or whatever it is.
$1,049
for a Tom Brady autograph.
Yeah.
My God, I think that's a way too expensive.
Really?
Bit of a rip-up. Yes. For him just to sign a piece of paper, like, and I'm just saying it's too expensive for me, and I think for a majority of his fans, that outprices the people that, like, are the blue-collar fans.
Well, blue-collar fans are the ones that are doing this. This is a market that someone's trying to...
Well, I know.
They're stealing his jersey after the Super Bowl. They're reselling it. He knows it.
I don't blame him for charging what he can get paid for.
He's pricing out the lower ends. He's like, if you're going to use my name and my signature and make money off of it, you dang right I'm going to do it.
And that's for the dealers, for not for kids. Right. Well, now, for dealers, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Like for a guy who goes and sells stuff professionally.
Right. Tom Brady's walking in training camp. He's signing a kid's hat and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's why I'm going, man, that's a lot of money. And that's all I'm saying is I don't blame him for doing it because he can, but I just think I would never pay that.
If you were that,
never would.
Would
pay
you
that.
Ever do that? If you were a big time star, would you charge people? If you were a star?
Well, I'd like to say, no, I never would. I don't know.
You don't know?
Okay. No. I mean, but right now I'm going to sit there and be like, yeah, of course I wouldn't, because I'm not a big star. People don't ask for my autograph, so I don't know what it's like to get hounded by that. I'm sure that if I'm Tom Brady, though, there comes a point where you're like, yeah, pay for it. But it's a lot of cash, man. $1,000 from just to go, whoop, whoop, Tom Brady.
You know, it's easy to say, and I was at a very small, not even at the level, even close to the level of that. But when I did after my first year and I had that, I signed stuff to people. And I remember guys walking up to me with their kids. Pictures. Hey, will you sign this picture? And they would put a kid and they would have the kid walk up with the picture. And next thing you know, where was it?
The interwebs.
No, well, interwebs wasn't as big then during that time. It was in card shops.
Wow, you were pre-internet?
No, I was right on the fringe of eBay coming on board. But they were in card shops.
Oh.
And the guys, they blatantly lie to you.
When
they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. They use kids, and they still do. They still put kids, and they say, hey, go up there and add you get this. It's like, oh, I collect cards and do that. They still do it.
Yeah. And they do that all the time. They send the little kids as runners up there. Oh, can you sign this for me?
Yeah.
And I've been with guys who go, oh, what's your name? And you just sign yours. No, I want to personalize
it. Put your name
it.
On it. Yeah.
I want to personalize it.
And a blue Sharpie. Make sure it's a blue Sharpie. I'd always get that. It's got to be a blue Sharpie.
Oh.
Hand you a blue Sharpie.
What's your name? Then you just sign your name. I mean, personalize. That makes it cool. Okay. Well, we learned a lot today on the program. Sean Farnham and Cam are in love. Spoke directly to your soul.
Yes, he did.
And
We're in lockstep. We're kindred spirits.
Yep. And you guys hate Pac-12 presidents. No. Farnham had some really good stuff, though, on the Pac-12 and the state of the conference, and we agree with it 100%. If you missed that interview, go and check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast, which is at 1080thefan.com. And if you're wondering who's Sean Farnham, he's a college basketball analyst, really good. He's really good.
He's awesome.
And he did not spare any souls when talking about the Pac-12. And I think he has a unique perspective because he went to UCLA. He covered the conference and the West Coast Conference for so long, but now he's in SEC country. and he sees it firsthand.
Well, he also sees that the conference is falling behind, and he made great points that UCLA had just got its first basketball practice facility built, which is that was staggering information for me. I shook my head, and we were right there. That spurred us into a lot of conversations of why we think the Pac-12 is behind, and our hopes and dreams are going to be crushed if Oregon can't beat Auburn.
Our hopes and dreams. Don't you put that solely on Oregon. Who does UW have a non-conference this year?
Yeah.
Oh, they playing a bunch of cupcakes again?
They had their run last year. Sorry, man. If you make a kick, we have a different conversation, mm-hmm. just like last year. Yeah. Nobody wanted to buy into that. I tried to get on board. I remember when I said that last year.
What one?
I tried to get on everybody that was an Oregon fan. I tried to say, look, it is going to be everything if Washington can beat Auburn at the beginning of the season.
We had that conversation about we could not understand why.
And all the elite Oregon fans that just didn't want to buy into it, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. If you want to do it, that's fine. You want to hold true to that. But there are Washington fans up there right now, and everybody knows that you want Oregon to beat Auburn because then it gives you the opportunity to beat, because if Oregon and Washington beats Auburn and Oregon certainly beat Washington in Autzen, that would have been massive for the conference.
Oh my God.
And now the roles have been reversed.
Yeah. Because Washington has got a very Oregon-esque schedule from a year ago. Eastern Washington, Hawaii, and
Now Oregon BYU. Is the schedule we're going to put as that? Why is that an Oregon-esque schedule? It's a Pac-12 schedule.
Well, yeah, no, I'm talking Oregon from last year.
No, it's just
where they
in
had
general.
San Jose State, Bowling Green, and Portland State.
Oh, just kind of how it falls. It's frustrating, but it's carry the weight of the conference.
Stanford has a tough one. We went through this briefly. Stanford's non-conference is Northwestern, at Central Florida, and Notre Dame.
I can't put anything on Stanford. They're just different teams. They're a different team in August, September than they are in November.
I know they're going to be 1-3 to start the year, and then they're going to rifle off like 8 in a row. Okay, I'm next to the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, Prime Time with Isaac and Sue. We get you ready for all the madness. Tomorrow is the opening round, and we'll be at the fan will be at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by Nike Hoop Summit and Encore Audio Video for all the action, so check it out. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.